In June of 2013, we were driving east to Saskatchewan for a family funeral. However, it felt like we were abandoning a sinking ship. 75 to 100 millimeters of rain had fallen in just an hour over a significant area in the mountains. Not much water and the still melting snow gave rise to a 100-year flood event in Calgary and many other communities along the Bow and Elbow Rivers. It was catastrophic for many homes and even left the downtown flooded for days, including the Saddle Dome and even our own diocesan offices. And as we followed the highway east from here to Medicine Hat and beyond, every community was bracing for that raging river and what havoc it would wreak. For most people today, a virus is now the river that spreads fear and destruction throughout the land. When things are going well so that people forget about God, the prophets have visions about destruction. When things are bleak, as they were at the time of the exile, the dreams of the prophets were of great comfort and consolation. Ezekiel had such a vision at the time of Israel's darkest hour, of the restoration of the temple, and God's presence there spreading blessing throughout Israel like a river. In his vision, the water is coming from the center of the temple where God dwells. The temple faces east, so the water is flowing eastward out of the entrance. Now, this orientation of the temple is deliberate because the tradition says that when the Messiah comes, it will be from the east. Remember that when Adam and Eve left the garden after they had betrayed God's trust in them, they went east. And when their son Cain killed his brother Abel, where did he go? Further east. So it is from the east that there is this return to the garden experience of intimacy with the Creator. And we might look ahead to the events that we will be remembering soon during Lent. Where does Jesus enter Jerusalem on a donkey with palms waving through the east gate of the city? And from where is he led in chains back into the city after his tortured night of prayer in the garden? From the east, across the Kidron Valley. However, we will also celebrate his resurrection, and that life will spread like a river throughout the world, bringing rich fruit and healing to the whole world. Ezekiel's river is a metaphor. There has never been a river in Jerusalem. If anything, it would be a river of the blood of sacrificed animals, bulls and sheep and goats and birds, offered to God. So Ezekiel is seeing dimly in a dream what we know for certain, that the new life-giving river will flow like blood and water from the sanctuary of the Savior's own heart on the cross. That river does not come from a king's palace or a government building. It doesn't come from a marketplace or a place of business or an athletic arena. For us, these things have mostly been shut down. But the river of life flows from a sanctuary which is not in the least bit impeded. In fact, it flows in even greater abundance. Ezekiel followed the course of the river as it flowed, so this is in his vision, as it flowed out to the east, 1,000 cubits at a time. Apparently that's about a half a kilometer at a time. And his angelic guide led him through the water. And at first it wasn't very deep. And so there is a picture of increasing progress and depth, which we could consider in our own spiritual life. God's people read this and feel a call to go deeper into that river of life. They shouldn't stop, and we shouldn't stop until we are swimming, carried along by God's currents, and comfortable in that place, not a place or a river of destruction. Eventually, that water flows through the desert and right into the Dead Sea, where there is no life, and it makes it fresh so that life grows there. Fish are there. Wherever things appear lifeless, out of the inner sanctuary will flow a stream of life-giving water, even where all seems dead and hopeless. The lame man in the pool by the sheep gate has become crippled in spirit after 38 years of waiting for someone to lift him into the pool with the healing power. Unlike others who hope in healing from Jesus, whom he meets in his ministry, this man can only complain, even when Jesus offers him healing. He has become a victim. He has become psychologically and spiritually paralyzed, so much so that even when he is healed, he doesn't express any gratitude, without even a desire to know who healed him. It's the Sabbath day on which he has been healed, the day to worship, but there is no worship or gratitude or joy anywhere in him. And when he is questioned for carrying his mat on the Sabbath, he rats out the one who healed him, a betrayal of the source of that new life in him. When Jesus does find him, he warns him to stop sinning or something worse will happen to him. But the only thing worse than being physically lame is to be spiritually lame. That's our message today. Not even to judge that man, but to recognize the one who wants to heal us. Let the river of life wash ourselves clean of our bitterness and our victim mentality. Confess our sin and be healed. Learn to swim in that river as it gets deeper and richer in our own lives and in the life of the church. Jesus begs us today to open our hearts. He wants to flow into the stagnant waters of your life and mine, to make them fresh and life-giving in the circumstances of our lives. It is not the flood of destruction that we imagine is all around us. It is the life-giving stream from the sanctuary. Let us not be afraid.